I come to tell you this morning that we serve a God who's able to get all the potential out of you. That you might not have a lot to offer, but what you can offer, God can work with it, and God can develop it, and God can make you what He wants you to be.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of A Diamond in the Rough, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of A Diamond in the Rough, Part 1.
That little problem you got this year, but these back problems not going anywhere, brother. They're going to be there. So, you know, you're just now getting right for God to you. You've been. Oh, look. Turn to Jeremiah. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Jeremiah said, look, I went down to the potter's house, and I had the opportunity to be able to look into the window of the potter. And as I looked into the window of the potter, I saw that he had a vessel on the wheel, and the vessel was messed up. Man, this thing was messed up. This vessel had been on drugs. This vessel had grown up in a broken home. This vessel was an outcast in society. This vessel had been in jail. But Jeremiah said, I looked at the vessel and I saw, oh, somebody hear me this morning. I looked at the vessel and I saw the master shaping it, and I saw the master molding it. And when he got done with it, it was something that was a beauty to behold. Yeah, I don't care what it is that you got going on in your life. I don't care what it is that you're going through. Man, you've got all the potential in the world. You know, I look at our society today, and our society at the basic foundations are being destroyed at the core. You know, who would ever thought that, I mean, I guess some people thought it, but officials in the NBA would fix game, basketball games, in order to make money. You know, who would have thought that all this other stuff, even though many of the other things, the big stuff in the news, even though it's alleged, but who would have thought that these things would be evident or present in the leaders and in the role models of today? We even look at in our government, you know, people in high positions being questioned authority. Man, you know what? We need some folk that are going to step up to the plate. We, you know, there's some young people here today. Man, God, we need some young people that are going to say, look, I'm going to be that vessel to go into politics. I'm going to make a difference. I'm just sick and tired of what's going on in the world today. And I want to stand for righteousness. I want to be there, and I want to make a difference. I'm going to let God mold me and shape me into a lawyer, into a politician. I'm going to let God mold, and, you know, thank God for teachers today. You know, people trying to get out of teaching. You know, they say, you know, there's one thing that I love about being a pastor is standing up here preaching. Now, the only thing I got to worry about on Sunday morning is the nodding saints. You know, that's the only issue I got to worry about. But, you know, when you look at me standing up here, for the most part, I don't have to call the ushers and say, look, can you make so-and-so stop talking back there? I don't have to call the ushers and say, can you make them stop hitting each other? You know, but teachers, man, you see, I mean, I study hard, and I get excited about standing up here and delivering the word of God, and I don't have to deal with, for the most part, discipline problems. But, you know, I'd hate to be a teacher that had to stand up and not only prepare to teach, but then have to deal with discipline problems while I'm teaching. And that's why a lot of teachers are getting frustrated today. That's why a lot of teachers are stepping away from the profession. But you know what? We need some people that will let God mold them and shape them into a teacher, into one that's going to go out and to make a difference in the world. And this is what Jeremiah is saying, look, if you will just allow yourself to be on the wheel, God can make something out of your life. God can see the potential in you, and God can bring it out. Man, there's no way in the world, no way in the world I would have ever grown up on the streets, grown up in all type of foolishness and sin. There's no way in the world I would have ever thought that I was going to be able to get a doctorate degree. You know what, I'll be honest with you, I never thought I was going to finish college. The first year in college, I flunked out. I had a .017 or something like that. I didn't pass one class. I think I got a F plus or something. I flunked out. But you know what, when I got saved and I gave my heart to God, man, God helped me to be able to get into the books and understand. God helped me and motivated me because he knew that he was pounding on the clay. He knew that he was pressing the clay. He knew that he was shaping the clay. And when I got finished with college, I had no desire to even go get a master's degree. And next thing I know, opportunity for a master's degree came my way. And next thing I know, I was enrolled. Man, that was Pastor Bill Glaze. And then when opportunity came up to work for a doctorate, man, nothing but God. But you know what? When I was out there on the street, when I was lost and undone without God and his son, God saw this brother standing in the pulpit today. God saw that. And all God said, look, I just got to get you from there to here. And if some of you sitting out there today, and God is saying, I'm trying to move you now. I'm trying to get you from where you're at. Man, I've got something great planned for your life. You know, and you might be marred. You know, I think of all the young ladies, the potential of all the young ladies before they had children. And then they had children out of wedlock. But you know what? I'm here to tell you today that God still has you on the wheel. God, you might be marred and you might be broken, but God will put you on the wheel and God will shape you, and you can still bring out all the potential that God has in you. I heard this interesting story about this teacup, and there was a couple that were on their anniversary, and they were celebrating 25 years, and they went to this little china shop, and they saw this teacup, and they were holding the teacup in their hand, and the teacup began to speak to them. Well, what did the teacup say? The teacup said this: you don't understand. I haven't always been a teacup. There was a time when I was red and I was all clay. My master took me and rolled me, and he patted me over and over and over. And I yelled out, "Let me alone." But he only smiled and said, "Not yet." And when I was on a place of a spinning wheel, suddenly I was spun around and around and around. "Stop, I'm getting dizzy," I said. The master only nodded and said, "Not yet." Then he put me in the oven. I never felt such heat. I wonder why he wanted to burn me, and I yelled and knocked on the door, and I could see him through the opening. I could read his lips as he nodded his head and said, "Not yet." Finally, the door opened, whew, and he put me on a shelf, and I began to cool. "That's better," I said. And then suddenly he grabbed me and brushed me and began to paint me all over. I thought I would suffocate. I thought I would gag. The fumes were horrible. And he just smiled and said, "Not yet." And then suddenly he put me back into an oven, not the first one, but one that was twice as hot. And I knew I was going to suffocate. I begged and I screamed and I yelled, and all the time I could see him through the opening smiling and nodding his head, "Not yet, not yet." And when I knew that there was no hope, I knew that I wouldn't make it. I was just ready to give up when the door was open. He took me out and he put me on the shelf. Then an hour later, he came back and handed me a mirror and said, "Look at yourself." And I did. And I said, "That can't be me. I'm beautiful." "I want you to remember," he said. "I know that it hurts you to be rolled and patted, but if I would have left you, you would have dried out. I know that it made you dizzy to spin around and around on a spinning wheel, but if I had stopped, you would have crumbled. I know that it hurt and it was hot and disagreeable in the oven, but if I hadn't put you in there, you would have cracked. And now that the fumes were oh so bad when I brushed you and when I painted you, but you see, if I hadn't done that, you wouldn't have hardened and there would be no color in your life. And if I hadn't put you in that oven the second time, you wouldn't have survived very long. The hardness wouldn't have held, but you are a finished product now. You are what I had in mind when I first began with you." You see, sometimes God will roll you. He will roll you, and he will pressure you, and he will put pressure on your life, and you'll say, Lord, stop, I can't take anymore. Oh, I heard a beautiful illustration this last week. You all remember the incident that happened a couple of months ago in New York on the subway, where the man had an epileptic seizure, and he fell on the tracks, and the subway train came, and there was somebody that was standing on the platform. He left his two children and jumped on top of the man and held him down until the train passed over. Held him down till the train passed over. Well, let me tell you, sometimes God sees us in a situation that will ruin us and that will hurt us. And God jumps on us and he holds us down. And we are screaming, "Let me up! Let me up! It's dark down here. I'm afraid, there's too much noise down here." And then when the noise and the darkness and the train passes by, what does God do? God lifts us up. You see, sometimes God got to hold you down in order to lift you up. And he puts pressure on your life. He rolls you. And then he does like the Friends of Distinction. "You got me going in circles." He'll send you in circles, spinning round and round. Y'all didn't know I hit that note, all right? Spinning around. And you'll be spinning around and you'll be dizzy. And you say, "Look, I can't take it. Let me off this wheel." Stay on that wheel. Stay on that wheel. I'm doing a work in your life. And then not only that, but he'll put you in the heat. He'll put you in the fire and let you get a little hot and a little burn. But he's doing it all for a purpose. And we scream and we holler. And then God puts the paint on us and we begin to complain about the fumes. And we say, "Oh, Lord, I can't take. I can't breathe." And God gets finished. And God says, "Look. Look in this mirror. What do you see?" And that's what he's telling the people here in Jeremiah. Look at the finished product. Paul said, "He that hath begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ." Ruth Graham was driving down a road one day, and it was filled with construction. And when she came to the end of the construction, there was a sign that said, "End of construction, thanks for your patience." And she said, "That is a fitting inscription for a tombstone. Sorry. Sorry that you had to go through the inconvenience. Sorry that you had to go through the construction, but the construction is over. Thanks for your patience." And you go down the road, and in your life there may be some temporary inconvenience, but praise God, there's some permanent improvement. That whenever we allow God to work on us and we allow God to spin us on that wheel, we can be molded and fired and brushed and heated and shaped into the very thing that God wants us to be. Oh, don't shortchange yourself. Don't shortchange yourself. Let you know, it's a shame to see all the wasted potential that's in the world today. And you know, some of y'all today are going to listen to this message, and you're going to walk out here, and you're going to be a bunch of wasted potential. All that God wants to unleash in you. You know, some of you, God is calling you to further education. And he wants to develop you, and he wants to bring some more out of you. But you're content. You're satisfied just to sit there. You're satisfied just to make it by and be what you are right now. But somebody said if you always do what you've always done, then you'll always be what you've always been. You got to do something different today. You got to step out there. You got to stretch yourself. Man, purpose in your heart that if God is working on me, if God is doing a work in me, I'm not just going to fight against him. I'm not going to let him be out here doing all this and then me fight against him. But I'm going to be like this clay in the hand of the potter. You know, I'm going to submit and let him mold me and shape me. Or I like the song, "He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Ought to Be." It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and the Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Oh, when you look at Pastor Glaze and you see some faults and you see some flaws in Pastor Glaze, just remember one thing, he's still working on me. When I look at you and I see faults and flaws on you, it's a whole lot better for me to deal with the situation and not become critical and judgmental when I realize that God is still working on you, that you're still a work in progress, that you're still on the wheel. You know, there really ought to be a sign on my heart that says, "Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. In the mirror of his word, reflections I see make me wonder why he never gave up on me. He loves me as I am, and he helps me when I pray. Remember, I'm the potter, and he's the clay." He's still working on me. That I'm a work in progress. And that every day I get up, I say, "Lord, you began this good work. Lord, you're going to complete this work. Lord, where are you going to take me today? Lord, whose life are you going to put me in today? Lord, is there going to be somebody that I come across today that's going to rub me? And when they rub me, let me understand that they're only rubbing me, and the only thing that rubbing is doing is polishing me. Lord, that when somebody comes across my path today and they put pressure on me, Lord, it's not the pressure from them, it's the pressure from you that's making me what you want me to be." Oh, I like the illustration. I've given it here before, but I like the illustration about the man who God said, "Push the rock." God told him, "Push the rock." And the man began to push the rock. And he was pushing the rock. And all of a sudden, about a month or two later, the devil came by. And the devil said, "What are you doing?" And the man said, "I'm pushing the rock." He said, "Well, the rock is not moving. Why are you pushing it?" He said, "Because God told me to push the rock." And Satan came by and put that little doubt in his mind. Then all of a sudden, the man stopped pushing the rock as hard as he was. And then he just got to the point where he wasn't even pushing the rock. He was leaning on the rock. And then he stopped even leaning on the rock. He wouldn't sat down and just watched the rock. And God came by. And God said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm sitting down." God said, "Didn't I tell you to push the rock?" And the man said, "Well, I was pushing it, but it wasn't going anywhere." And God said, "I never told you to move it anywhere. I just told you to push it." He said, "But I didn't see anything happening." He said, "Look, while you was pushing the rock, look at your leg muscles. Look how strong they got. Look at your back muscles. Look how strong that they got. You know, you had stamina. You had some intestinal fortitude when you pushed the rock. See, God is telling some of y'all to push the rock. And you want to question God, why should I push the rock? Just because he told you to push it. But I don't see anything happening. You don't see anything happening, but you are a work in progress every day. You know, when we went to New Mexico and Arizona, you know how we had to take that trip? 1 mile at a time. 1 mile at a time. And when I drove the first mile, boy, it didn't seem like we went too far. When I drove the second mile, man, it didn't seem like we went too far. But you know what? Each mile was getting me closer to the destination. And one day I looked up and we was driving into Albuquerque, New Mexico. The next day I looked up and we was riding into Tucson, Arizona. You see, it don't look like a lot is going. It might not look like a lot is going on, but you just be faithful and you be steadfast, and day by day you just let God do his work. You let God mold you and shape you. You let God design you. You let God polish you, and in the end you're going to look, and man, you're going to be something that you never thought you could be. Bill Glaze, pastor in the church. Man, my friends that I grew up with can't believe it. That's why I tell you all the time, you know, when you know, we used to have a visitor stand up and let them say something. But we stopped, we cut that out. We don't do that anymore. Because I had friends that come and they want to say, oh, Glaze, I remember back when. Well, you know, Paul said forgetting those things that are behind. You know, they can't believe that I'm a pastor. You know, I think of my wife. You know what my wife told me? My wife told me, she said, you know, I never thought I'd be married to a pastor. I said, I never thought I'd be a pastor. But you see, God is working the work. You know, the old, sinful, wretched individual, God will clean them up. God will work in their life, and God will mold them and shape them into exactly what it is he wants them to be. And you know, he's not done yet. He's not done yet. Yeah, I'm excited. You know, I wouldn't mind. This is me now, and I'm trying to motivate somebody here today. But I wouldn't mind going back for another degree. If I had the time, I'd go back and get me another degree. Just because, you know, I want to continue to be that vessel in the hands of God. I want to sharpen my skill. I want to become all that I can be for God. That's why, you know, pastors need to go to conferences so that they can continue to sharpen their skills. Whatever job that you work, you need to continue to go to conferences so that you can be, so that you can be that sharp vessel. You can be that diamond in the hand of God, which every day he's going to work out, and he's going to make you what it is that he wants you to be. Don't shortchange God. Yeah, you know, there was a song back in the 70s when I was out in the world, and it said, you got potential. You got potential in your life. Potential. And God has filled you with potential. Don't shortchange him. Don't let that potential die. If you're a young person, man, you got your whole life ahead of you. You got so much potential. There's so many things that you can do. If you're an elderly person and you still got life in your body, there's potential. And just don't sit down on God now. Don't sit down on God. Man, God still got to work. You're still on the wheel. He that hath begun a good work in you is going to continue to work that way. You got potential.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Diamond in the Rough, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Diamond in the Rough, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Diamond in the Rough, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Diamond in the Rough, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.